Welcome to the Bob Bloom Show with your host, Bob Bloom, a production of South LaSalle. Welcome to episode 23 of the Bob Bloom Show, revisiting PHP FPM, visiting Laravel funding. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. The Bob Bloom Show is my monthly commentary podcast devoted to PHP, published on the first of the month. My main focus is pairing PHP with serverless platforms. This is your podcast host, Bob Bloom. Links referenced in this episode are listed in my notes at bobbloomshow.com, episode 23. You can listen to this podcast on my website via RSS, on Spotify, on YouTube, and on YouTube Music. I have two other podcast shows. My PHP Serverless News podcast is my outlet for covering PHP serverless, where I can talk about news, vendors, and projects, as well for keeping an eye on industry trends. Published on the 15th of the month, an expanded schedule should commence in November. My Bob Bloom Interviews is pending sponsorship, where I will be interviewing people involved with PHP serverless. In this episode, I will talk about my journey into PHP app servers, specifically about what I'm going to do about my brick wall that I talked about last month, and I want to talk about Laravel's September 5th venture funding announcement. I like to keep my podcast to about 20, 23, 24 minutes in duration. This is probably going to go over as an exception. Excuse me. Okay, today I want to complain about the content creation industry, which could be a big pain in the butt. Do people know what they're writing about? Do they even care? Not that you know I'm doing this podcast and I'm in this industry. And yes, I care. I know when it comes to PHP app servers, no, I don't necessarily know what I'm talking about. I also want to express my deep worries about Laravel's $57 million venture funding that somehow in the future, and that day may never come, that the Laravel family of open source software will be impaired. That's not what I wrote in my draft. And as well, I want to express my hope that maybe the Laravel website have a list of their grassroots groups, like, say, the one in Toronto that I organize. But I'm too nervous to state any of these opinions. I don't want to make anyone angry. Now, I just wrapped up my umpteenth edit of this draft where I stayed away from making anyone angry by employing two distinct techniques. I dance around the subject and I avoid making any conclusions. So this is my umpteenth plus one draft. It's an on the one hand, but on the other hand kind of thing. On the one hand, I want to do this commentary. On the other hand, I don't want to inflame anyone. Although I'm sure it'll happen at some point doing this podcast show in general because, to coin a phrase, we live in sensitive times. No, not sensitive times, hypersensitive times. Excuse me. Last month I talked about hitting a wall understanding PHP application servers. I tried to remedy it by revisiting PHP FPM. My logic being that a deeper understanding of PHP FPM will give me the proper foundation with which to understand PHP app servers. Revisiting PHP FPM turned into an exercise in frustration. My searches came up with, predictably, materials that I had already found. For some of these, it struck me that they seemed to exist for the benefit of the author, not the benefit of the reader. My reaction was visceral. For Laravel's venture funding, my first reaction was quite visceral, and frankly, my initial reaction has not changed much. Even though my reaction... Excuse me. For Laravel's venture funding, my first reaction was quite visceral, and frankly, my initial reaction has not changed much. Even though my reaction is the same as what I saw in videos, and in a surprising... circumspect subreddit. I don't think that gives me a license to get full vent here in a public podcast. You know, I'm not an observer watching something that I have nothing to do with. It's not a sports podcast. I'm an independent PHP developer who is trying like heck to understand the varied and intense serverless technologies that make a beeline straight for conventional servers. I'm an independent PHP developer who has chosen the Laravel framework and as his primary framework of choice. And who loves it? He's also the Laravel Toronto organizer. I'm part of this community, and I want to contribute to our community by way of this podcast. And basically, after my umpteenth draft of this episode, I concluded that maybe for this episode, the best I can do is to be a little light on the contribute thing. So I do want to do this episode. Now, by way of some background for my being irritated by some materials about PHP FPM, this year with this podcast, I have been chronicling my journey into PHP app servers. I am still amazed how my interest in PHP serverless has drawn me deep into both PHP internals and into server technologies. Serverless connotes an abstracting away of the server, serverless. Yet from the get-go of my getting into it, my experience is completely the opposite. Now, given my hostile attitude about learning about server stuff and my unconscious avoidance of PHP internals for decades, this is quite the achievement for serverless, getting me to do a 180 on both counts. The only server stuff I know is what I have to know, what I like to call my working knowledge of servers. This lack of understanding is not just servers, like Apache, but extends to Linux. I enjoy Linux. I'm comfortable in the command line. I'm comfortable with the three commands that I know. Serverless is a marketing term, generally denotes features, not a technology nor technological processes. The main feature is scaling. There are various ways to achieve scaling. You could do it all yourself. You could use Kubernetes, Docker, and a server. And hence my interest in PHP app servers. I thought I was making progress learning about PHP app servers, but I realized I just wasn't getting it because my base knowledge of Linux and servers is limited. I figured it was best to look again at PHP FPM because it sure seems like a nexus to me. PHP FPM is where servers, Linux, PHP meet. And even though I had already done an episode on PHP FPM, I thought it would be a good idea to revisit it, see if I could understand it deeper, now that I had made some general overall progress. Well, I hit a brick wall revisiting PHP FPM. When I started looking at it, I felt I was getting bogged down in the lexicon. I mean, does that sound familiar? But I blamed it on myself because my underlying knowledge of servers and Linux leaves much to be desired. I felt that I was getting somewhere when I waded through the 1,000 plus lines of C code in the source file. This time around to revisit PHP FPM, I felt that I was ahead of the game a bit, having looked at an assortment of stuff, that this time around the pieces would fit a lot better than before. I thought that I would understand what I had seen about it before. I was wrong. And this time around, for some of what I was looking at, I didn't blame myself. I blamed what I was looking at. Now, as background to that, something in the back of my mind that I haven't mentioned or enunciated anywhere is that I'm beginning to doubt that people understand the totality of the technology that they're talking about. It's so varied, it's so intense. My cynicism really started in earnest, believe it or not, at the AWS Toronto Summit in June 2023. AWS puts on one-day summits around the world. It's part trade show, part conference. It's held at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, west of Union Station. I went there to attend two sessions in particular. One was about Lambda cold starts. The other was about Graviton. After the cold start talk, I went up to the speaker and I asked about the bootstrap files do while loop. If they knew how freezing worked. Freezing is a word that's in the Lambda docs. The answer that I got was he turned his back on me and walked away. The absolute first thing I said to myself in reaction was, I bet there's not a half dozen people on Earth who truly understand Lambda. That was my reaction. I guess in his eyes, there's one crazy character at these events, and I was that guy. There's always that smart ass looking to one up the speaker, right? Although I did not ask in the Q&A, I asked afterwards. And I am that guy who will go up to the speaker after the talk. But in my eyes, I was almost desperate to talk to someone who might have some expertise in what I consider an absolutely bizarre thing. The Lambda execution environment halts. How exactly does the execution environment know that it got a false result from the while conditional? And then holds itself in abeyance. How does this work practically? And it might relate to cold starts, the topic of the talk. I was really interested in getting some kind of opinion about it. Well, my reaction to some of these PHP FPM materials and technology in general is, people really know what's going on. They just don't know, or they're hiding behind terminology to get the article out the door. So I decided that I would try something else. I decided I would go through the digital PHP FPM instructions because that's what I did before and it was pretty good. So I created a droplet. I went through the instructions. You know, the docs aren't to explain how it works. It's to explain how to install it. I never really paid attention, just followed the instructions. So this time I paused as I was doing it. Excuse me. My curiosity brought me to the Debian packages website for PHP. There are a lot of standalone programs that are listed, each looking like they come from the PHP source repo in GitHub. The instructions that I followed step-by-step installed all of PHP, not just PHP FPM. Now, someone had to build that. And I realized I really don't quite understand the PHP source repo. I stopped looking at PHP FPM materials when I got tired of reading the word pool, but never seeing a definition or a definition that I was happy with. And yes, I might have seen the right explanation and not realized it, but I think not, or whatever, it was worded in a way. My theory is that pool is a nexus point where PHP Linux and the web server converge. Where there's PHP INI, there's low-level memory management, there's processes, permissions, and CGI, all of it. I'm now convinced that what I'm looking for doesn't exist out there, and I might have to create it myself. Now, rightly or wrongly, I consider PHP FPM a fundamental technology underlying modern PHP app servers. So it's worth my investment of time and frustration. I'm going to keep grinding away, and in my next episode, I am going to let you know where I'm at. My worry with Laravel's $57 million venture funding announced on September 5th is that somehow in the future, and that day may never come, that the Laravel family of open source software will be impaired. And as well, as a side hope, I'm hoping that the Laravel website will have a list of their grassroots groups, like, say, the one here in Toronto that I organize. I've been struggling with this episode on how to present my commentary without stirring the pot, and how I can add some insight. And in so doing, I'm rather late in getting this one out, although, of course, I'm backdating it. As a result, I'm composing this draft amidst the WordPress drama with WP Engine. Now, WordPress drama is nothing new, but there's something about this one that really disturbs me. Now, I've done WordPress consulting work for over a decade, some custom coding, setting up sites, setting up backups, you know, this kind of thing. You don't want me designing sites. So, I'm not a passive observer, and it is PHP. I'm worried that this drama is crossing some kind of line, that will eventually affect my minuscule corner of the WordPress universe, and I don't know, in a more global way, disturb open source software. Now, kind of to state the obvious, this WordPress stuff is completely unrelated to Laravel's funding. I am juxtaposing one on the other. When I was first composing this draft, the term that was top of mind for me was rug pull, a term that's just came out of nowhere for the open source universe, and it's just used nowadays in reference to open source software. I think that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking about the funding. But this WordPress stuff is ringing a stronger personal klaxon bell. Now, WordPress drama is a normal part of the landscape, but this doesn't seem normal. I've not gone to Matt Mullenweg's blog site before, but I went, found on August 2021, there was an article entitled Funding Buyback and Hiring, where he said that WordPress was valued at $7.5 billion. I would think with that valuation, WordPress would be able to precisely articulate its dispute with WordPress Engine, WP Engine, in a way that would not disturb the harmony of the open source community. You would think that that would be SOP, but you could see maybe, as I'm trying to summarize here, that with an increased valuation and with a bigger commercial entity, that what you see in WordPress doesn't happen in Laravel. And this is just perception of just seeing what's going on and thinking, oh yeah, yay, that's all. Who was a Series A investor in WP Engine? WP Engine. It was Automattic, the parent company of WordPress. So there's something going on behind the scenes, but it sure looks like lines are being crossed as a result. The precedent feels ominous to me. There doesn't seem to be a certain passion about the open source community that's overriding whatever the reactions are internally. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Whatever it is, looks like it could do some real harm to the open source side of things. Laravel's blog post about the funding is very brief about the specifics of the deal. I'm excited to announce that Laravel has raised $57 million Series A in partnership with Excel. Excel's announcement is more interesting, and I want to quote from it. Excuse me a sec. The first time we met, this is quoting from Excel's announcement. The first time we met Taylor Otwell, it was clear he had only scratched the surface of his long-term vision for Laravel. It took us a year of persistence and 21 cold calls to get in front of Taylor for Eggs and Biscuits in Little Rock. And during that time, we'd attended Laracon meetups, Portugal, Ahmedabad, in Nashville. From one event to the next, we observed the builder ethos of Laravel, a passionate community of developers committing to supporting each other, contributing to the open source project, shipping great products. By any description, Taylor had it all, vibrant business, etc. Yet he felt he owed it to the Laravel community to do more, to really go forward with an ambitious roadmap to unlock new levels of productivity and joy for Laravel users. Taylor dazzled us with his inspiration for the future of Laravel, his clarity of vision, and his deep love for the Laravel community. He simply lacked the resources to weave it all together. Today, we're pleased to announce Excel's support of Taylor's vision with a $57 million Series A investment into Laravel. I'm going to skip the rest. My guess is that this investment is funded by Accel's U.S. early stage, Accel 14 XVI. Is that 14? 16 fund. A $650 million fund advancing our mission to be the initiating investor behind transformative, market-defining technology companies. I wanted something to compare this funding to in the hopes that it would give me a better sense of what this is. Accel funds Vercel, and I wanted to look at Vercel. In 2020, Vercel announced a $21 million Series A financing from a group of investors led by Accel. And later that year, Vercel announced Series B funding of $40 million. There were two, Series C was in 2021, Series D was in fall 2021. And then this year in May was a Series E, $250 million Series E funding, valuing Vercel at $3.25 billion. Vercel received Series A and B in the same year in 2020, a total of $61 million. Laravel's funding is almost equal to Vercel's first two rounds. And over 5 years, from 2020 to 2024, Vercel received a total of $563 million, supporting a valuation of $3.25 billion. Vercel and Laravel Cloud seem to be doing the same thing. Sort of. Vercel for Next.js and Cloud for PHP. Now, Laravel has four revenue-producing entities, Forge, Envoyer, Vapor, and selling software. Laravel may be announcing Series A funding, but conceptually, to me, it looks like they are already really doing later round financing to support revenue growth rather than turning a proof of concept into a revenue-producing thing. This is the basis of my thinking that Laravel's trajectory is expected to be faster. They expect it to be faster than Vercel's. In my opinion, the funding is the first in an expected series of fundings over the next few years, which will value Laravel well over $1 billion. That's what I want you to think about. That it's not about this funding. It's about series of fundings to support Laravel valued at $1 billion. Think about that. Only the future knows for sure if this will be a blessing or a curse for the open source software. But what is happening elsewhere in our PHP community and in open source community in general just dampens my mood. I'm reading here what I wrote about the Laravel groups. And I know I'm kind of dancing. You may think, and it's natural to think, that the groups have some sort of connection to the project, to the parent project. That there is some sort of training or support, or there's some sort of money, there's a pool of money that. There's nothing. We are a very passionate bunch of local devs. Our corporate hosts are exceptional, and we do it all on our own. As I wrote here, I think it's natural to assume that local groups get some form of support from the parent organization, that Laravel has a pool of money, or PHP has a pool of money that it divvies out to groups, or a training program, or there's a formal mechanism of communication that the parent org would want us to maybe go through a list of what's coming up or announcements, or there's nothing. The answer is no on all counts. Our groups are grassroots all the way. Local devs meeting locally at local PHP and Laravel shops, and now php.net has a listing for the groups. There's a link on its homepage. This is something that I hope that Laravel will consider. The php.net site shows its age, and the functionality that I'm talking about isn't perfect. And they know that. They know that. Now, as lead organizer, when Vapor came out, we looked at it. With Cloud, I have a December meetup already scheduled. It's so hard to schedule December meetups that if I don't do it well in advance, it won't happen. It's a tough time of year to do it spontaneously. At this December meetup on, December 14th, we're going to look at Laravel Cloud, assuming it will be there to look at. Just out of curiosity. And that's it. And then we're going to go back to the open source stuff because we're not promoting commercial stuff. And I'm certainly not volunteering to promote commercial stuff. That's always been my attitude. Always. And nothing new there. And we have done stuff that's commercial that I've had a bad taste in my mouth after. Over the years of being associated with the groups and in leading the groups or helping to lead the groups. Now, only time will tell what impact the funding will have on Laravel's open source software. I'm very confident of the immediate future. Now, things going on in the general open source community have not helped my mood for the longer term. Thank you for listening to this 23rd episode of my Bob Bloom Show, revisiting PHP FPM and visiting Laravel funding. My next podcast episode is scheduled for November 1st. 2024. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.